Hello and welcome back to The Breakdown. This is Monday, April 7th. We're on the Monday of Final Four Championship Day. Houston, Florida. Tonight for the National Championship, 8:50 on CBS. We will be watching. We got some baseball today, too. We're not really going to talk much about basketball. A lot of players sitting, getting ready for the playoffs. Not much to really look into, but we're going to start off with the Final Four. Let's start off with the first game, Florida-Auburn. This game was a heck of a game. Walter Clayton Jr. is the real deal. This one, he had 34 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. One of the only two players to ever have 30 points in back-to-back Elite Eight and Final Four game. And he has set the NCAA record for Florida for most points in a tournament, passing Joakim Noah. He's the real deal. Elijah Martin was 17. Thomas Haw, if that's how you say his name. I heard the broadcaster say it a couple different times throughout the year. I'm going to go with Haw. But he had 12-7. And this Florida team looks like the real deal overall. On the night, 47% from the field. Auburn, 44% from the field. One of the big stories of the game was Florida did not take as many three-pointers as they normally take. Only took 21. But they made almost 40% of those, 8 out of the 21. Auburn, on the other hand, took 25, only made 7 for about 28%. Free throws. Florida hits 21 free throws. Auburn hit 16 free throws. Just an evenly matched game all night long. I think the story was that Janai Broome was hurt, and he came out hot, started off hot, and with the adrenaline, you have to think that the injury didn't play a factor in the first half, but when he came out in the second half, he did not look like himself from the first half. Another big story was Florida out-rebounding Auburn. 39 total rebounds for Florida, only 30 for Auburn. But Auburn did have more assists and less turnovers. And Auburn caused Florida to have 16 turnovers. I mean, it was a solid game in general. They got help from everybody. Chad Baker-Mazzara with 18. Miles Kelly with 8. Denver Jones with 10. Dylan Cardwell with 9. Janai Broome with 15. Todd Pettiford with 7. Chaney Johnson with 6. It's a all-around team effort that they just didn't get it done. And watching this entire game, you had to think to yourself, this is what the Final Four is. Two of the better teams in the country playing each other in an SEC rematch / rivalry. This is what the Final Four is about. Everybody complained about the one seeds in the Final Four. Quit. This is what the Final Four should be about. Two of the best teams in the country playing each other again. They know each other well. And watching this game, you're like, either one of these teams deserves to win. Both of these coaches are great. Both of these teams have absolute talent. And I think the ending story to this was that Janai Broome was not fully healthy. In the first half, he looked dominant. They were feeding the post to start the game. He started off the game dominant. Second half, they couldn't get him the ball. And he finishes with 15-7. Not a bad night. But if you're a AP Player of the Year candidate, you got to have it when it matters. We've seen it in the second game. Cooper Flagg gets a decent look. AP Player of the Year didn't hit it. But Cooper Flagg also ain't hurt. Janai Broome was hurt in this game. And I think that's what the story comes down to. Janai Broome hurt. Auburn loses 79-73. That's the story of the game. Florida, I think they're going to win the national championship. I think they're better than Houston. But I also thought Duke was a better team than Houston. And they looked like it until the last 3 minutes. So, who knows. But I had Florida in my national championship game when I filled out my bracket. And They've played the part the entire way. Florida's the real deal. Walter Clayton Jr. might be one of the best clutch players we've ever seen in the tournament. He's the real deal. Give me Florida in the championship. So let's go to the Final Four game that everybody was shocked by. Not necessarily shocked. Shocked by the ending. Dude gets up 14 and then doesn't hit a shot for 10 minutes. They have one field goal in the last 10 minutes. Houston wins 70-67. Cooper Flagg can't hit the game winner. Then he gets a foul. Houston pulls out a win. Experience beat youth here. Duke obviously had more talent. Duke, in my opinion, was the better team watching the game, the whole game. Duke is the better team. But experience outplayed youth in the end. That's the issue with playing three freshmen as a starter. Outplayed Duke in the end. Let's take a look at the overall stats. Field goal percentage. Duke at 40%. Houston at 38%. Pretty even. Houston goes 10 of 22 from 3. Duke goes 7 of 17. That's 56% from Houston. 41% from Duke. 46% from Houston. Houston goes 14 of 18 from the free throw line. Duke goes 18 of 23. This is the story of the game. Total rebounds. Houston had 45 total rebounds, which what do you expect from a Kelvin Sampson-led team? 45 rebounds is insane, but nobody's shocked to hear that. I mean, this is a team that, if I don't know if you guys seen the social media post that went viral, they literally in practice fighting over basketballs. Like, I'm talking jumping off walls, getting heated, at the end of practice fighting for loose balls. Like, this is Kelvin Sampson. We're going to out-rebound you, and that's the story of the game. In the end, 21 offensive rebounds for Houston compared to 13 offensive rebounds for Duke. Total rebounds for Duke, 34. Houston out-rebounded them by 11. Duke, though, 14 assists, 4 blocks, 7 turnovers. Let me give you a stat in this game. Teams in the Final Four that had more assists, less turnovers, and were leading by 10 with less than 5 minutes to go were 335-0. Duke led Houston in 5 specific statistical categories. Field goal percentage 39.6 to 30.7. Free throw 23-18. Assists 14-10. They had turnover 7-6. In NCAA tournament history, to off those statistical categories in a game were 335-0. This is the worst. This is the worst choke in Final Four history. Think about that. The worst choke in Final Four history. Us winning this, if he's coaching, who knows? Is John Shire the issue? Who knows? But I do know that Houston Cougars cannot die. They can't kill Samson and refuse to die. I don't know if you heard a quote after the game, but I can't remember. It went with them like, you have lost until you lose your hope. They didn't lose any hope. Because the whole world was watching this game. Duke up 14. Was like, Duke might blow them out. Not today. Not today, as Pat McAfee would say. Duke ain't blowing them out. Duke, ultimate choke job. Is Cooper Flagg the number one pick? Absolutely. Did he take a tough shot at the end that was a decent look? Yeah. Duke looked gassed at the end. Cooper Flagg didn't have the legs behind the game winner. It didn't go in. Then he gets over the back ticky-tack foul. I'm not hating on the call. It could have went either way. But that's not the like these people out here talking. Like, I'm a Duke guy. I want Duke to win this game. But if you're out here complaining about this over the back. maybe we need to watch the last 8 minutes of Duke just absolutely having a meltdown, forgetting how to play basketball. And I think this comes back to the whole story of Duke all season of didn't have a true point guard. There was never a time. We watched it early in the season with the Kentucky game. We watched it against Clemson. All of Duke's losses came because they did not have a set point guard to run a play at the end of the game. Sion James, sure, he's a point guard, but is that guy running an offense? He was the fourth best player at Tulane last year. I'm not hating on the talent that Duke had. Sion James is a heck of a defender, but he's not leading somebody's offense with 30 seconds left. And then, to cap it all off, Tyrese Proctor, experienced veteran guy, had a heck of a tournament, catches the ball, decides, I'm not going to pass it to the AP Player of the Year, Cooper Flagg. I'm going to hold on to this. I'm the worst free throw shooter on the floor. Let me hold on to this ball and shoot the free throw. Are you joking? But, I mean, this is a masterclass on how to lose by John Shire. Are they going to be back next year? Absolutely. They have the Boozer Twins coming. They're going to be good. Duke will be back. This Houston team, I like watching this Houston team. How do you not like watching this Houston team? LJ Cryer is an absolute menace. 5-9 from the three-point line, I believe. Insane. Had 26 in this one. Juwan Roberts at the end. MVP of the game, probably hitting two free throws, only being a 64% shooter. 12 rebounds, 11 assists, 11 points, 5 assists. Heck of a game. Emmanuel Sharp, 16. Miles Uzan kind of shut down all night with 7. But he did what they needed. Tugler had one of the – I've only ever seen it once, and it was in this game. A technical foul on an inbound play on a reach-in. I've never seen it before. And at that point, you're like, Duke's got this in the bag. And then he comes back, Tugler with the putback dunk off that three, puts Houston right back in the ball game. Let's go to the Duke side. Cooper Flack, 27, 7, and 4. Colin Knipple, 16, and 7. And look at this stat line. Malawach, 7'3", 9'8", standing reach, 0 rebounds. 0 rebounds. Talk about getting out-coached in the game. Kelvin Sampson was running this set that pulled Malawach out of the paint and allowed them to have the offensive rebounds. Malawach ends with 0 boards. 0 boards. Cooper Flagg was the best player on the floor. He's been the best player on the floor in every game he's played all season. 27-7. He is the number one overall pick. These people talk about Cooper Flagg coming back. Cooper Flagg ain't coming back. Cooper Flagg is not coming back. The only way he comes back is if, like, the Wizards win the NBA draft lottery. And because who wants to go to the Wizards? But he's not coming back. So, that's that. Like, biggest Final Four choke in history. Cooper Flagg is gone. John Shire, interesting at the end. We'll say that. So, let's move over to some MLB. We're going to go through all of the weekend series and take a look at those. And then we're going to take a look at updated standings through what is around 9-10 games for each team. So let's start with our Sunday night baseball game. Boston plays St. Louis. Boston sweeps this series in an absolute gem of a Sunday night game if you like offense. Rafi Devers, 4 ABs in Sunday night, 4 runs, 4 hits, 3 RBIs. Jaron Duran, 5 ABs, 3 hits, 2 RBIs. The Stars showed out. Willy Abreu, Gold Glove member, had the best defensive play of the weekend, in my opinion. Boston wins 18-7. And then go back to Saturday. Boston wins 5-4. Or go back to Sunday, too, because it was a rainout on Saturday. Boston wins 5-4 over St. Louis on a walk-off by Willier Abreu. Abreu, the player of the weekend, for sure. Boston sweeps that series. The game on Friday ended 13-9 Boston. And that one, Duran had two hits. Devers had two hits. Bregman had two hits. Trevor Story with a home run. Willier Abreu with a home run. Abreu is hot, absolutely hot to start the season. Red Sox next series is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday against the Blue Jays. Cardinals next series coming up is against the Pirates. That's a Monday through Wednesday series. Nootbaar looked okay in this series. Contreras looked okay. But overall, not the greatest series from the Cardinals. A Cardinals team that I thought was going to end the season towards the bottom of the NL Central. And right now they're third place in the NL Central behind the Cubs and the Brewers, but it's early. But I still think this Cardinals team will finish at the bottom of the NL Central. Let's go Arizona-Washington series. This one, Nats get 2-3. They Diamondbacks won on Friday 6-4, and then the Diamondbacks lose Saturday, Sunday 3-4, 4-5. From the people from this series that really stood out, Corbin Carroll absolutely hits monsters off the bat. Ketel Marte had a couple good games, but then he ends up getting hurt towards the end of the series. Diamondbacks moved to 5-5. Nationals 3-6 after this one. One of the more interesting series of the weekend, Dodgers at Phillies. Phillies won the Sunday game 8-7. Phillies improved to 7-2 on the season. Dodgers 9-2 on the season. Out of this series, Phillies take two against the Dodgers. On Friday, the Phillies win. They dropped the one on Saturday, 1-3. And then on Sunday, come back with an 8-7 win. Phillies are the real deal. I think they're going to be there when it comes time in the playoffs. I think that they are legit. And they proved that they can hang with the Dodgers in this series. So, are they the first team to prove that the Dodgers aren't unbeatable? So, that's an interesting takeaway. Then we'll go next series, Yankees at Pirates. Pirates don't get swept here, I think is the storyline. Goes 11 innings on Sunday. Pirates win 5-4. They dropped a Friday and Saturday game 4-9 and then 4-10. Pirates win one there against the Yankees. That's the story for the Pirates. Didn't get swept. Detroit sweeps the White Sox. Nothing to talk about there, really. Toronto and New York Mets. Good series there. Mets second in the NL East after this. They get the sweep of the Jays. 5-0 on Friday. 3-2 on Saturday. 2-1 on Sunday. Blue Jays, though, the story from this one is Blue Jays son Vlad Guerrero Jr., 14-year, $500 million contract. So Vlad is going to stay a Blue Jay after the season. There had been talks about him going other places. But as of right now, he is staying with the Blue Jays on a huge deal. Then we have another good AL series, Kansas City and Baltimore. Kansas City gets 2-3 against the Orioles. Friday, they win 8-2. Saturday, Orioles get the win 8-1. And then Sunday, Kansas City gets the win 4-1. Royals second in the AL Central. Only 4-5 on the season. Baltimore 4-6 on the season. Two teams that we expect to be in the playoffs at the end, having a little bit of a rough start to the season. Cincinnati, another team that could win this NL Central, at Milwaukee to play the Brewers. Brewers win the Sunday game 8-2. Brewers take two of the three here. And they win Friday 3-2, lose the Saturday game to Cincinnati 7-11, and then win the Sunday 1-8-2. Brewers 5-5 on the season. Reds 3-7. NL Central division there. That was an interesting series that could pay dividends at the end of the year, considering that it was in division. Houston, Minnesota. What does it look like for Altuve in left field? Who knows? He's had some defensive errors, but the bat is still there. Houston takes two of the three. They win Thursday 5-2. They lose Saturday 1-6, and they come back on Sunday in 10 and win 9-7. Box score in this one, Altuve on Sunday has two hits, two RBIs. Altuve also had an 0-for-5 game in this series. One of the worst games of his career. Comes back and is Altuve, man. He just keeps hitting. But I don't think these Astros are the same Astros we've seen in the past. I'm not scared of this Astro team if they make the playoffs. After the loss of Kyle Tucker and some other guys like that, this Astros team is not the same. Get Altuve out of left field. He's a defensive liability in left field. Let's go to the NL, another NL Central, not NL Central, but NL Division, or NL Conference Series here. Padres on Sunday beat the Cubs 8-7 at Wrigley. Padres moved to 8-2 on the season. They lose the first two in Chicago, 1-3 on Friday, and then 1-7 on Saturday. They come back with a win on Sunday. Chicago moves to 7-5. Chicago is legit first in the NL Central. I think they're going to end up winning that division. Pete Crow Armstrong looks good in the number four. But the Padres are legit. The Padres will give the Dodgers some tough games throughout the season. Padres move to 8-2. Chicago to 7-5. Tampa Bay and Texas is the next series. Texas wins 4-3 on Sunday. Texas moves to 8-2. Texas is going to win this AL West. In my opinion, they sweep the Rays 5-2 on Friday, 6-4 on Saturday, 4-3 on Sunday. Texas is the real deal. Colorado and the A's, Sacramento A's, I guess. A's 4-6 on the season. Colorado 2-7 after this. Colorado gets a Sunday win, 12-5. They end up losing the other two, the A's, though. 3-6-11 on Friday, 4-7 on Saturday. The A's are 4-6. I think the A's will end up giving some people some games towards the end of the season, but they could sneak in a playoff game. I don't think so, though. Giants at Seattle. Giants home opener, one of the best ballparks in the country. Oracle Park there. Giants get the Sunday win, 5-4. Giants have one of the better records in the MLB as of right now, 8-1 on the season. In these, they sweep the Mariners in Friday's game went 11 innings. They win 10-9. Saturday's game, they win 4-1. Sunday's game, they win 5-4. Giants first in the NL West. Another series, Angels-Cleveland. Angels get the Sunday win, 6-2. They move to 6-3. This Cleveland team is legit, so who knows. But Angels take two of the three. They lose the Friday game, 6-8. Then they win the Saturday game, 10-4. And the Sunday game, 6-2. And then we already talked about the Boston series. And then a game that got postponed. The Braves and the Marlins. That game will be made up at a later date. Braves get the win on Friday, 10-0. Come back on Saturday, lose 0-4, and then the Sunday game is postponed. Braves are 1-8 on the season. A Braves team that many people thought were going to be an absolute playoff contender and probably win their division, and it's not looking that way for the Braves right now. Let's go through their division standings. NL East, Phillies at 7-2 are at the top of the division. Mets in the second spot at 6-3. Marlins in the 3 spot at 4-5. Nationals in the 4 spot at 3-6. And the Braves, as we just mentioned, rounding out the bottom of the NL East at 1-8. Then we go to the NL Central. Cubs in the 1 spot, 7-5. Brewers in the 2 spot, 5-5. Cardinals in the 3 spot, 4-5. Reds in the 4 spot at 3-7, tied with the Pirates. Then we go NL West. Giants at the top, 8-1. Who thought the Giants would be at the top of this NL West through 9 games? Not me. Figured it'd be the Padres or the Dodgers. They round out the 2 and the 3 spot. Dodgers at 9-2. Padres at 8-2. Diamondbacks in the 4 spot at 5-5. And, of course, the Rockies at the bottom. Who would have expected that? Everybody that has ever watched baseball in their life. Rockies at 2-7 to start the season. AL East, going to be a heck of a division the rest of the year. Yankees in the 1 spot at 6-3. Red Sox in the 2 spot at 6-4. Half a game back. Blue Jays in the 3 spot, 5-5. A game and a half back. Rays in the 4 spot, 4-5, 2 games back to start the season. And the Orioles at the bottom with 4-6 on the season. Orioles, I think, will be end up being better than the Blue Jays and the Rays. I think the Orioles are going to end up getting a playoff spot. AL Central, Tigers in first, 5-4. Royals in second, 4-5. Twins in the 3 spot at 3-6. Guardians in the 3 spot in the 4 spot at 3-6. And the White Sox in the at the bottom at 2-7. Who would have guessed the White Sox are the last in their division? AL West, Texas Rangers at 1-8-2 on the season. Angels in the 2 spot at 6-3. Astros in the 3 spot at 4-5. Athletics in the 4 spot at 4-6. And the Mariners in the 5 spot at 3-7. That is your MLB recap over the weekend. And we'll give you another recap throughout the middle of the week. But not many notable NBA games to really talk about from the weekend. So just some scores here. Miami beats Detroit on Saturday. Knicks over Atlanta on Saturday. Minnesota over Philly on Saturday. Milwaukee over Miami on Saturday. And the Clippers over Dallas on Saturday. None of those unexpected wins. None of those really primetime games. On Sunday, there was a couple big games. We have Lakers over Thunder, 126-99. But what are the Thunder really playing for here? Thunder's already clinched the one spot by like 10 games, so not a shocker that the Lakers run them. Luka has 30, though, coming off one of his worst games of the Laker. Another big one, bigger one, Sacramento beats Cleveland. But Cleveland's got that one spot wrapped up in the East. I'm not worried about that loss at all. Sacramento wins 120-113. Boston gets a win over Washington. Not a shocker. Houston over Golden State was an interesting game to me. That 2-6 spot in the West is still up for grabs. And Şengün has 19-14. And Curry struggled in this one. That was one to look at that actually did matter. Houston wins 106-96. And Dylan Brooks had 24. Şengün had 19. Jalen Green with 21. Amen Thompson with 14 in that one. And then Golden State, on the other hand, Steph Curry goes 1 of 8 from 3, 1 of 10 from the field with 3 points, 2 rebounds, 8 assists. Pajemski has 19, though. Jimmy Butler had 13. Just a bad night for the Warriors. Buddy Hield, though, had 20 on 6 of 11 from 3. They need him to play well in the playoffs if they want to do something with that. But that's about it for the NBA. That has been the breakdown on this Monday of Masters Week. We're going to get into that on Wednesday, give you some Masters picks. The greatest golf tournament of the year is this week. Hopefully the weather remains nice in Georgia and we get a good Masters tournament. But I'm thinking LIV this week. I'm thinking Brooks, Bryson, Cam Smith maybe. But I'm thinking LIV players coming this weekend. But that has been it on the breakdown. This is Monday, April 7th. Thank you for listening. Please follow and download and share. This has been Brad Canterbury, and this was the breakdown.